be here with you all. And very nice day, very auspicious day. Dr. Vinod Thakur is such a great personality. Yesterday was the appearance day of Lord Vamana. And is it that tomorrow? What's tomorrow? Just tomorrow. It's not Jiva Goswami or something, something. Okay, anyway. So yesterday was Lord Vamana's appearance day. And today is Bhaktivinoda Thakur's appearance day. And we have here Srimad Bhagavatam and also Chaitanya Charitamrita. Well, this of course here, this is a major educational institution. However, Srila Prabhupada would often, whenever he talk about universities or visit them, he would often make the point that, well, it's also there in Bhagavad Gita, in the purport to chapter 9, verse 2. Are some of you familiar with chapter 9, verse 2? 1. Raja Vidya Raja Guyan Pavitram Idam Uttamam Prachakshavagamam Dharanyam Susukam Karatam Aviyam. This knowledge is the king of education, but it's also the most secret of all secrets. It's the purest knowledge, and because it gives direct perception of the self by realization, it's the perfection of religion. It's everlasting and joyfully performed. So in the purport there, well, it's an extensive purport, but in the beginning of the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about, you could say, Vits University. It talks about universities. How you can study so many different subjects, language, art, law, and engineering, and you name it, different scientific fields and so on and so forth, as you know very well. What are you studying, Anna?
Social sciences.
Social sciences. What are you studying? Mechanical engineering. And what do you study?
Applied drama and theatre.
Oh, really? Okay. So all these different departments are there. But Prabhupada makes the point, where is the department for studying who you are? Who you are, what you are, and what is right for you, what is best for you, what will actually help you, you the person. Unfortunately, it's not available in WITS. And it's not only WITS, it's not available at Tuckies or UCT or UFS. And it's a shame. It's a shame because if we don't understand who we are, then how can we know what we need and what's good for us and what's not good for us? If we don't know who we are, it's not really possible. So at the root or in the foundation of material education is an assumption. There is an assumption. It is extremely fundamental, foundational like that. That is, you are your body. And as such, you are part of the material world. And as such, you have to learn how to deal with the material world in all these different ways. engineer your way out of the material world. Socialize your way out of the material world. Act your way out of the material world. Talk your way out. Force your way out. Buy your way out. Not really. So this is the situation in material life. This assumption is there in terms of who we are and then what should happen in our lives based on what we are. So Krishna consciousness, as you all know by now, Krishna consciousness is not just another belief system, as sometimes different religions are described or called. You believe in this, someone else believes in that, so they're different beliefs. Krishna consciousness is not like that. As you know, we have our book, The Science of Self-Realization, and Srila Prabhupada on many occasions would say that Krishna consciousness is scientific. In principle, it's scientific in that if you apply, you could say, the theory, at least to you it may be a theory, to others they may have gone beyond that stage. But if you apply the theory, for example, that Krishna is present in his names, and if you chant his names, you experience his presence and you experience contact with him, you could say that's one of the theories, one of the ideas in Krishna consciousness. But then if you do the experiment, you know, if you really get into it and do the experiment, means you really chant, then you experience it. And as millions of people have done, you'll have the same experience. And it's a very vivid experience. And yeah, it's not just like, I believe I am happy. If you eat a nice meal, or before you eat a nice meal, I believe I am hungry. Then you eat the meal. It is not a matter of, I believe I'm not feeling hungry now. I believe I'm enjoying it. I believe I'm feeling stronger, refreshed. It's not a question of belief. So Krishna consciousness is like that. And Srimad Bhagavatam is elaborately discussing this subject and related subjects from so many perspectives and points of view. It's incredible, actually. I remember the first time I read Srimad Bhagavatam, it took 3 years, and I was reading every day. So, you know, it's approximately 18,000 verses. So to read 18,000 verses in 3 years, you have to say 3 years is 1,000 days or something. So you have to read 18 verses a day to get through in 3 years. In other words, it's an exhaustive, painstaking study. Wow. And just, you know, multifaceted. And there's so many points in it, which, like what I mentioned about chanting, which are practical, pragmatic points. You can take them apply them, try them, and see what results you get. So, and then Chaitanya Charitamrita is taking it all another step or 10 further, or 100, or maybe you can't even put a number on it, but taking you further. The Bhagavad Gita is the undergraduate study. The Srimad Bhagavatam is postgraduate, and Chaitanya Charitamrita is postgraduate Nobel Prize. So it's nice, and it helps in terms of our situations or your situations here, studying mechanical engineering, sociology, social science, drama, and what do you study?
Computer science.
Science?
Yes.
Okay. And what are you studying?
Accounting.
Yeah. So these Krishna consciousness in general and these literatures will help. These literatures will help in many ways, but there's certain very specific and important ways they help in your situation. In that, you know, it is quite easy to oversimplify Krishna consciousness. It's very easy to oversimplify it and think that, for example, yes, Krishna consciousness is spiritual, studying in the universe is material, therefore, clash, conflict. Spiritual, material, conflict. So, you know, in an oversimplified type of perspective, then you might think, well, we have to do one or the other because they're just like they're different from each other. Well, in many ways they are different, of course. Thank you, Krishna. But the thing is that Krishna consciousness being so broad in the spectrum of ideas it presents and the applicability for different types of people in different ways, even the same types of people in different ways, means that through Krishna consciousness you can find a way to, even though you've got this conflict, spiritual, material, but to find a way to work the two together in, shall we say, reasonable harmony. It can be done. For example, Bhagavad Gita is spoken on a battlefield, and many people, when they hear that for the first time, they've spoken on the battlefield, Arjuna's warrior is meant to fight, Krishna is there, he's God, he's meant to be helping Arjuna do the right thing. So many people, when they hear that for the first time, they expect that Krishna will be telling Arjuna, don't fight, because God, spirituality, and all that truth and fighting and killing. People would normally think big conflict, and you could never sort of marry the two together. But when they hear that in Bhagavad Gita Krishna is encouraging Arjuna to fight, many people, they become bewildered. And they really question, well, what is Bhagavad Gita then? It's encouraging violence and killing and all these things. And so how can it be spiritual, godly, and how can it be something positive in life? But, well, I assume you've all read Bhagavad Gita by now. A few times even, perhaps. And we know that actually it's extremely spiritual. And Arjuna, Krishna speaking to Arjuna and telling him to fight, is not just a matter of encouraging violence, but it's a matter of encouraging doing one's worldly duty because of the worldly aspect of our existence and the need to deal with that, but from a higher perspective. And in this way, the two apparently irreconcilable perspectives, they suddenly come together. And even Srila Prabhupada said that Arjuna, after Krishna convinced him to fight, and that it was the right thing, it was the good thing, that it would actually help him, and it would even help the people who were killed, it would help the people who won, it would help the people who would lose, and it's just all auspicious. Prabhupada made the point that when Arjuna became convinced like that, and then he started fighting, Prabhupada said, it was like he was dancing on the battlefield. You know, dancing obviously is something which is there when we're very happy and it's just, you know, very nice situation, even joyful situation. We may dance. So, Arjuna, he was not just slogging it out on the battlefield. He was dancing on the battlefield because the two, fighting, killing even, and relationship with God and our natural spiritual situation and making spiritual progress, they had become the same thing. They had become the same thing. So, you know, if we apply it here, because the point is one of principle, not just fight or not fight, but the point is do your duty or not do your duty. So you're all students. Can you imagine dancing in the lecture theatre? Dancing during the lecture. Dancing during the exam. No, because we have this idea that exam, panic, you know, difficulty, long hours, struggling. Within our minds we have this sort of idea. But the thing is that through studying Srimad Bhagavatam, because it's so multifaceted and so comprehensive, and Chaitanya Charitamrita taking it further also, it'll help us to see how our duty, our worldly duty, social science, drama, mechanical engineering, accounting, science, whatever. How these things are or can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. Yeah. Social science, does that mean like, does that involve counseling people or
No.
Not really.
Social science is a broad term for any subject that deals with humans. Okay. So counseling is psychology.
Okay. Anyway, I was going to say, you know, if it was to do with counseling or like psychology, there's one of our devotees in Russia who is a psychologist, and even little famous psychologist, and he has started a Vaishnav university of psychology, where you can actually get a degree in psychology. So some of the subjects, not all, but some of the subjects which you're studying can be directly applied in Krishna consciousness. Drama. You were in Botswana, weren't you? Right. And you saw the dramas they put on. I mean, they were basically pretty good as far as they went. But, so drama, speech, drama, and like that, can be directly applied in Krishna consciousness. Oh, yeah. Extremely effectively, extremely powerfully, directly in the service of Krishna. Have you ever heard, did you ever hear of a famous British drama from the maybe 60s and from the 70s called the Rocky Horror Show? The Rocky Horror Show. It was one of these shows like Jesus Christ Superstar on stage, which just plays for years in England. Anyway, so in other words, it was like major show. So either the director or the producer saw our devotees do a drama called The Fish Play. Have you heard of The Fish Play? Oh, you haven't lived. you really missed it. The Fish Play is amazing. It's amazing. Mr. Fish falls from the spiritual world into the material world and goes through many experiences. Working. Getting married. Getting into drinking. Intoxication. Working in a factory. And various things. And he gets fried. So there was another version called Fried Fish. There was The Fish Play, then Fresh Fish, then Fried Fish, and then More Fish. So the director or producer of The Fish Play, of the Rocky Horror Show, saw The Fish Play somewhere, and he wanted to take it and put it on stage in London, you know, publicly. So, you know, there are certain things which at least some of you are studying, which to some degree can be applied directly in Krishna's service, like accountancy, but our young man's gone. You can be Krishna's accountant. We had a devotee, he was the president in Cape Town. He had a degree in engineering of some sort. He was working at the Kooberg nuclear power station. And I asked him, so, how would you engage your skill in Krishna consciousness? Make an atom bomb for Krishna. So that's a little more difficult. But some things can be directly used in Krishna's service. Other things, even if they can't be directly used in Krishna's service, but at least... Hare Krishna. At least they can help you to earn nicely so you don't have to be in a difficult situation in terms of personal maintenance. Doing something you can do, and even you may have some particular sort of like affiliation, you know, some expertise, and you may like doing. One thing you should know about Krishna consciousness and work and earning money is this. In Krishna consciousness, we encourage the devotees who work to work to earn as much as possible and work as little as possible. And there's an increasing number of devotees who have, you know, developed that sort of skill. They only work, say, 3 days a week, and the rest of the time they engage in devotional service. So if you're qualified, if you're skilled, and if you're intelligent, then you may be able to do like that. So if nothing else, even if you can't use your skill directly for Krishna, but at least you can use it so you can earn in a way which is hopefully, you know, working, doing something which you have a natural sort of ability for, and therefore you can do it easily and earn quite a bit. And after some time figure out how to work as little as possible and earn as much as possible like that. And then do as much devotional service as you can. And then with your higher earnings, you can purchase all sorts of Krishna conscious things. And you can go on pilgrimage regularly. You can go to Botswana for the temple opening, go to different events here and there. You know, in this sense, it helps to have money. And Srimad Bhagavatam helps, and Chaitanya Charitamrita, they help with that, in that they take us, they show us, in a very nice sense, the complexity of Krishna consciousness and the subtleties that can be there in its application. So, in other words, you can just work your way around material situations, which otherwise, if you were just in a sort of oversimplified state of mind, you might see as just direct conflict situations. My Krishna consciousness and something which is anti-Krishna consciousness. This is a wonderful thing about Krishna consciousness, about Srimad Bhagavatam. How to deal with the material world in Krishna consciousness. And, you know, like, interesting example, the Muslims, not that I understand their sort of their anger, but the anger that there is in the Muslim world against particularly the Americans. A big part of that is cultural, that they see that the Western world, particularly the Americans, is introducing all the sense gratification and all this materialism, which undermines their culture and their way of living and all of that. So what do? Well, they get up and they fight against it in different ways. But in Krishna consciousness, of course we know, as well as they do, actually we know a lot better than they do, really, what's wrong with American consumerism, materialism. We know even more clearly what's wrong, and in a sense, we're even more opposed to it than they are. But through Krishna consciousness, we can work with it and use it against itself. And use, like, technology and use so many things to promote Krishna consciousness against the very materialistic culture which has produced the technology or whatever it may be. Yeah, it's interesting. Krishna consciousness is very interesting like that. So we encourage you to read Srimad Bhagavatam, starting with Canto 1. We only have one copy, right?
We have some spare copies.
Okay. Because if they all start reading Canto 1, what to do if there's only one copy? You'll have to read fast so the next person can then start in a few days. But please read Srimad Bhagavatam, and when you read it as students. Don't read it as sort of, you know what, recreational readers, you know, just something nice we read. But read it as students, study it. The first time I read Srimad Bhagavatam, I took notes the whole way. I would actually, first, I'd read the whole chapter, just the verses, the translations of the verses, and make notes of the sort of, the development of the narration itself. Then I'd go back and read the verses and the purports, and take notes on all the philosophical points by topic, alphabetically. And, you know, that was 1976. I've still got the notes. I've still got the handwritten notes 36 years later. And I still use them. Because, you know, you take a topic like chanting, and then you make notes, you write out with the verse reference all the different interesting things, and you got so many statements about chanting. Now you could give a seminar for 1 month about chanting and never repeat the same thing, because, like I said, it's variegated, it's complex. It's not just you should chant. Why? Because it's good for you. But it's highly complex, not for the sake of complexity, but just because it's so multifaceted and it's so wonderful. So please read Srimad Bhagavatam, then Chaitanya Charitamrita, and see how it goes. Actually, the first canto, the Bhagavatam, is considered a form of the Lord. Like the deity is a form of the Lord, not just a representational, symbolic thing to remind us, but it is the Lord. The holy names are the Lord. So Srimad Bhagavatam is the Lord. The first canto is his lotus feet. and then the other cantos as you go through that, coming up through the body. 10th canto is his smiling face, always smiling. And then the 11th canto is his forehead, and the 10th canto is the top of his head. And you know what they say? If you read Srimad Bhagavatam systematically and efficiently through, from beginning to end, by the time you reach the end, you will have realized Krishna. And you'll be seeing Krishna face to face in the pages. It is very deep. It's extremely deep. On different levels. You know, intellectually it's deep, spiritually it's deep, culturally it's deep. And there was one couple, disciples of Srila Prabhupada when Prabhupada was here. Vishal was the husband, and his wife was Vishalini. And they were traveling in India distributing Srimad Bhagavatam. And they wrote to Prabhupada and said, you know, we're traveling and we stay wherever, and often not in a temple, but we like to have a morning program. So would it be all right if we got deities to travel, to take with us, so then we can have arti and so on? And Prabhupada said, why do you need deities? You've got Srimad Bhagavatam. You can just offer arti to Srimad Bhagavatam every morning. It's the same. Yes. So, it's extremely rich. It's actually rich beyond our capacity to appreciate richness. We will tend to get sort of swamped by the richness. But anyway, please read it. And when you have questions, then you can ask Ishvara Puri Prabhu, or you could even ask myself if or when the opportunity arises. Yeah. It's amazing. And then go on to Chaitanya Charitamrita. Actually, the first time I read the Bhagavatam, I read the Chaitanya Charitamrita parallel. I would do 15 minutes of one, and then 15 minutes of the other, and it took 3 years. Yeah. So, Hare Krishna. So now we will offer arti to Srimad Bhagavatam and Chaitanya Charitamrita. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita ki jai.